Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that February is winding down. Depending on when you're listening to this, it's already February 25th and 26th. If you're listening to this on Saturday, February 25th, my running friends, I will be in Ascutney, Vermont, running the Winter Wild up and down Ascutney Mountain and having fun doing that. But this weekend with me as part of our community outreach is the Robotham family, and with me is Scott, Wendy, McKenzie. Thank you, family, for joining me this weekend. I'm sure you have better things to do.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And, of course, this is on arthritis advocacy, and, of course, many of you know, you've heard me tell this story many times, but we have an arthritis foundation in New Hampshire, which I chair. I've been doing that for many years, and I've been a long advocate of the Arthritis Foundation, and way before I even knew a lot about it, I used to run the Jingle Bell Runs and still do that. And as I got into this field, I learned that surprisingly, and I know when I say this statistic, people are surprised, but juvenile arthritis affects 300,000 youth nationally and approximately 1,500 in New Hampshire. Juvenile diabetes, those numbers are actually lower, 200,000 and 1,100 respectively. And so I only mention that, both obviously great causes in terms of fundraising and need, but the people don't realize the impact on juvenile arthritis. Thus, our show this weekend. In addition, of course, for adults, it becomes something that some adults don't like to talk about it because they're afraid, well, geez, maybe my employer thinks I'm not going to be able to do the job anymore. So one of my goals in life is to get people very comfortable talking about arthritis, but it does take a certain amount of courage to do so, whether you're an adult or if you're a teenager like Mackenzie, because I'm sure that there have been some times, Mackenzie, where it's been difficult to maybe explain to your classmates. So tell us your story, Mackenzie.
So I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis when I was 4 years old, and at the time, we didn't really know that much about it, but as the years went on, we learned so much, and we've been able to reach out to other families and help them out a lot, which was really awesome, and coping with it is, like, it's one of the most strengthening things I've ever done, because I'm sure that if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to do most of the things that I do today. I probably wouldn't have found my love for singing and dancing and acting, because those are some things I can do instead of doing sports, which I'm not afraid to say I'm awful at. And it's just another way to get people moving. So that's really fun.
And has it helped you? Obviously, you've been a youth honoree for us. We've asked you to appear on radio several times. We've asked you to do speeches at the beginning of races. So I'm assuming from a classroom perspective, it's also helped you perhaps, you know, in terms of making presentations in the classroom and so forth.
Yes. We just wrapped up a public speaking seminar for one of the quarters at my school, and I got 100 in it.
Because, wow, not surprised. Yeah. Not surprised at all.
We had to write speeches and then deliver them and project our voices and just make sure that we could be heard and our subjects were important to us, and to show that to our class. And one of the speeches, our last speech, in fact, was the most important day of our life. And I chose the day I was diagnosed. And initially it was kind of hard to talk to my classmates because most of them weren't from my elementary school, but some were. So I mainly talked to those students, as the elementary school students already knew what I had and what I dealt with.
So were they surprised to hear of your journey since the tender age of 4?
Most, yes. Because whenever I say I have arthritis, a lot of them think, oh, my grandma or grandpa has that, or isn't that an old person's disease? And no, it's not, I can assure you. Kids get it too. And mainly it's early onset arthritis, which is what I was supposed to have. That means, like, I would get it when I was 15, which would be now. But something caused it to flare up early, so I was diagnosed when I was 4.
Now, Scott and Wendy, mm-hmm. As a mom and dad, and when you hear the diagnosis, obviously, those of us that are moms and dads, you know, we live for our children. So what impact did it have on you from just a psyche perspective? And then you're probably seeking information. And I know it's a lot better now in terms of family support and getting information. But, you know, when you first heard that, you know, almost a decade ago, I mean, what did you do? What was your first reaction?
I think my first reaction was just shock. I remember just sitting there and just nothing coming to my head. And Dr. Sundell, her doctor at Boston Children's, said, oh, the Arthritis Foundation has a Valentine's Day party and you can meet other parents. And I was hearing it, but, you know, you're just thinking, how am I going to fix this? You don't want your children to suffer. The hardest thing for me to hear that. I said, geez, why didn't she say she was in pain? And he said, well, she didn't know any different. She'd always had pain. So it was just the way of her life. It would be something new for her to not have pain. And going to that Valentine's party and talking to other parents was, I think, the first time when I started to get over that shell shock and realize what other parents were, you know, doing to cope, and having those parents who had already been dealing with it help me, you know, with those first baby steps of figuring out how I was going to fix this, how I was going to help her, you know, what could we do to, and then help other children.
Scott, how about yourself? And then, of course, I know ultimately you've catapulted this to a lot of advocacy, both online and actually literally going to Washington, D.C. So tell us your initial reactions and then how you've channeled that into advocacy.
Like my wife, we're, you know, just kind of dumbfounded. All we ever heard of was arthritis being in elderly, and to have a 4-year-old diagnosed with arthritis, it kind of was like shock. We kind of was kind of in a haze for a little while, even going to that first session a few weeks after she was diagnosed, or not session, but get together with the arthritis families at the Valentine's Day party. It was very helpful, very reassuring. And then we went to a few different places, met some wonderful people that helped us out with our time dealing with this. And we kind of sort of sat back and said, well, we don't want to be like, victims here. We want to take a look at it and say, well, what can we do? What can we do to help others that have helped us along the way? And that kind of sort of led us towards the advocacy and advocating for arthritis, going down to Washington, D.C. Every year to ask our members of Congress for help as well.
And I know at the various arthritis board meetings, you talk about our delegation being receptive. So tell us about that and tell us what we mean by being a champion of YES, which is the new tagline.
Well, when we go down to D.C., most of our members of Congress, do recognize, arthritis being in children now that we brought it to their attention. Some already knew, some didn't. They also, we have a few of them have co-signed and co-sponsored some bills that we've had that have come across. Congresswoman Custer has been a big help for us. Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter also has been a great help for us as well. Senator Shaheen this past year also co-signed a bill for the Arthritis Foundation as well. So we've really been fortunate in the state of New Hampshire to have wonderful people down in Washington, D.C. representing us for the Arthritis Foundation.
And we're so fortunate to have you to go down there. I mean, they can be receptive, but they also have to hear the message. From a macro perspective, Is the federal government, in terms of, are we going to be investing more in R&D and research, or is it still so much of it relates to, you know, all the fundraising that we can all do?
There is, you know, part of what we do when we go down to Washington, D.C., are bills that are going through the House or the Senate trying to be passed. And a lot of them have to do with monies to earmarked for research, especially for arthritis. A lot of the times we had to be really educated on things like how many people leaving the military are leaving because of arthritis, because it's not just the kids, it's everyone. And yeah, it's the number two leading cause of people to have to leave the military. I think it's a number one leading cause of people out of work. So we know it's not just money for kids, or it's money that we can get from military research. It's monies from other kinds of research that, you know, are earmarked to help these people get back to work, to help them find a cure and help all these kids. And then in a sense, in finding a cure and using these monies, we can get these kids off of these expensive medications, get people back to work, and put that money into something different.
And I think you make a good point about our veterans and our military. There's definitely an impact there. And I know I have a lot of CEO colleagues that listen to the show, and I think that they've heard me say this, but sort of the three leading causes of lost work days are not necessarily in this order, but arthritis, the common cold, and oral health. Mm-hmm. So I'm in all three. Delta Dental, Oral Health, member of the Arthritis Foundation Board, and of course, like everybody else, I've gotten a cold. But the people don't realize that. So upcoming, on the topic of fundraising, of course, one of our big events coming up is the Walk to Cure Arthritis, and that's on May 7th, and we end at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. It's a great walk, and as you all know, family, that one of my visions is to see the sea of green, you know, as we walk up from Eversource, and no different than it's so moving and Concord when I see the sea of pink when we have one of the larger breast cancer walks, and we're all proud, and it's so compelling and moving. We want to see the same thing when it comes to the arthritis, and our color, of course, is green. So we'll return with Scott, Wendy, and Mackenzie after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and with me is the Robotham family, Scott, Wendy, and Mackenzie. I want to thank again my guest last week, Jack from the Forest Society. We had a great journey talking about the Forest Society and how finding the balance between protecting what we love in New Hampshire, you know, the forests, the streams, the trails, with the fact, you know, obviously, you know, balanced growth. So we were talking about the Arthritis Walk, which again, go on arthritis.org. It's coming up on May 7th. We started Eversource. We walked to Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. We hope to see the sea of green. Just a few weeks ago, we had kind of a night at the Manchester Monarchs Delta Dental Suite and another suite for people that have already started to raise significant funds for the Walk to Cure Arthritis. And of course, Mackenzie has raised money in the past for the walks and the runs as well. So, Mackenzie, though, I want to come back to you and talk your personal journey and some of the health issues that have resulted because of your diagnosis.
So what happens to many kids when they get diagnosed is they are put on a medication called methotrexate. And in case you don't know what that is, it's a medicine used in chemotherapy. And the reason they use it is because many people who have battled cancer and have got to go home and be in remission, they noticed that there was no arthritis that affected them in later years after they used that medication. So in small doses, kids with arthritis use methotrexate. Unfortunately, a side effect of that is that their immune system attacks itself. So we don't really have very good immune systems, which causes us to have many sicknesses, like back to back, and it's really exhausting sometimes. Once, about 2 years ago, when I was in seventh grade, when we were coming home from an advocacy summit, our plane had a bit of turbulence. And at first I thought, oh, my ear's just popping. It's no big deal, right? Because it always goes back. But it turns out I got a middle ear infection called labyrinthitis. It started out with vertigo, and then I got nausea and weakness, and I was in even more pain than I usually was. And when I finally got over that, I got something else. It's called reactive neurovascular dystrophy, or RND for short. And it's basically described as fibromyalgia, but for kids. And that's how...
That's depictive. Yeah, that's really descriptive of that. Interesting.
We had to tell that to my teachers, who were upset that I was missing so many classes because they didn't understand what reactive neurovascular dystrophy was. I didn't even understand what that was. So my parents would just send them an email like, okay, so she has this and it makes her nauseous, her blood flow is kind of off, because it would stay in one place and forget to go back to where it originally was supposed to go. For example, I'd be doing a mile run and the blood would go to my legs. But then I'd go home and I'd eat something and the blood in my legs wouldn't go to my stomach. So it would take from my brain, which made me really dizzy and just nauseated, and it was not fun. So.
Wow. So Scott and Wendy, so when this was happening, what was your reaction? I mean, seeing kind of like Mackenzie in some sort of pain, but not kind of knowing the genesis of it.
We knew that something was wrong, and I knew it had stemmed from that inner ear infection, because I feel like she was in a pseudo remission for a long time. And, you know, we were getting along great. We had the medication. She was going to school. She's a great student. She was doing dance and theater and singing and playing in the band. And then all of a sudden, everything came to this horrible screeching halt. And she couldn't stand up without being dizzy. And she was sick all the time. And if she did a little bit of exercise, her face would get beet red. But then it wouldn't, like, go away quickly, which was like this odd thing. Or, you know, every time she would eat lunch and call me to come and get her because she felt sick after lunch. And that was when we were like, okay, this must be something new. You know, this isn't what we're used to. This is something different. And, you know, we know from luckily talking to other parents and other people that other things stem from this arthritis. Other stuff can happen. And in kids who take, you know, when you've got all this kind of medication, these kids are taking Enbrel and methotrexate and anti-inflammatories, that sometimes other things happen. And this was like, oh, great, we've got another thing.
I remember the day it started. I was just finishing a performance for one of my school plays, and I felt so nauseated. I went backstage and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. And my mom came over and she said, you are so pale. And we got me like 3 bottles of water and I drank all of them, but I still felt nauseated. And that was like the final push to tell us, you need to go see your rheumatologist.
So you saw your rheumatologist, and then how did the journey conclude? I mean, you've gotten past this now, right? The ear infection?
Yes. So when we saw him, he said, basically, he didn't want to put me on another medication after having so many before. And he said, a good way to combat this is through exercise. So I started in physical therapy and I jumped right back onto the dance wagon. And I've just been exercising and trying to get my heart rate up to get that, what they call a runner's high of adrenaline, just to make myself feel better. Because I noticed whenever I was with my friends or doing like a play or dancing, I felt perfect. I felt fine because I got that rush of adrenaline that you get when you're with your friends or you're off doing something athletic.
That you like, doing something that you like and being happy. And then she would come home and sit and be like, oh, she would just drop, the bottom would come out and she'd just be laying on the couch and not wanting to move.
Well, Mackenzie, you're so poised discussing this. I can't believe you're in ninth grade. When I was ninth grade, I could never do this. So, and that gets to a point, you know, that we want to talk about, which is when we do the walk, which again is on May 7th, and you can go on arthritisdog.org for more information, or you can call Tom Bringle, who's the executive director, at 724-6080, because there are plenty of opportunities not just to contribute as a walker, But we do need some corporate sponsorship. So there are plenty of opportunities for my CEO partners out there. But Scott, you would agree that we do need it's continuous fundraising, because as successful as you've been to get the message out to the to Congress, a lot of R&D still relates to private donations and donations from corporations, correct?
Yes, it's very important for all involved to try and help out, you know, folks like my daughter Mackenzie and other folks that are dealing with arthritis. The monies that are raised for the walk to cure arthritis in the state actually does help folks directly in the state. Some of the monies go towards helping kids go to a camp, Camp Dartmouth. It's especially for kids with arthritis. It's a great place for them to go to feel like they're not the only ones that has arthritis. There are other people out there too that at their age that do have arthritis, and it's a great experience for them all. It's also great for awareness and for
R&D and fundraising and awareness. So Mackenzie, you went to the Dartmouth camp, correct?
Yes.
Tell us what a typical day was. I know when you've talked about this, when we've had you as a guest at board meetings and other students that have gone there, they speak with it with so much passion. So tell us what that experience was like.
I remember my first day there ever. I was so nervous because when you're a kid with arthritis, you count on your parents for mainly anything. They'll give you your shots if you have any. Sometimes they give you your medications. They're always there. And when I went, they weren't there because it's an overnight camp. So I was terrified because my parents weren't there. And it was just like a terrifying thought that I wouldn't have someone. But the staff was so nice. I remember one brought me on a go-kart ride around the entire camp because I was like bawling my eyes out and I was so nervous. And on a typical day, we will go in, we'll have our breakfast. It's not limited. They have gluten-free, vegetarian, and vegan choices. But, you know, they also have meat because meat's good too. And you could basically pick whatever you wanted. And if you didn't want anything there, the cooks would just give you, like, toast or something simple. Because usually they would always have, I think, a healthy donut there or bagels.
There is such a thing as a healthy donut. I gotta get me one
yes,
of those.
They do have such things as vegan donuts. And then we would get our little tags, and our tent counselors, because you were separated by tent, would give us our tags, and we'd have a little presentation of what activities were available that day. So right after breakfast, the staff who were in charge of those activities would say something like, today we're doing archery, and archery's fun because, and then they list why, or they just do a totally different, inspiring presentation. And when it was time to pick your activities, they'd say, anybody who wants to do archery, raise their tags. And so we'd raise a tag, and the staff would come pick your tag, and that's basically how you signed up for anything. And it wasn't limited to your tent mates. You could go, and you got to meet basically everybody at the camp, and it was so fun to just hang out with other kids. And they also had a rock climbing wall and a zip line that, like, my very first day there, I was like, I'm gonna do that. And it did take me a while. I'm not a big fan of heights, but, like, I'm okay just looking outside a window. But when you're climbing up something that's a little shaky, that's not my thing. But I decided I want to do that zipline. It looks like so much fun. So there was this ladder. They called it the Beluga ladder. And it looked like the safest option for me to climb up. So I decided I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to look. So I climbed up that ladder with my eyes closed as tight as I could. And a staff member who was at the top was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay. I want to go on the zipline now because I just wanted to get down. But it was still a good experience because you know that you can accomplish that now. When I went back,
so you got out of your comfort zone and did that. It's amazing, and it gets back to why we want to get the whole community behind the Walk to Cure Arthritis, which is May 7th. And for my running friends and walking friends, we are going to once again do the 3 Jingle Bell runs. There had been some question about Portsmouth, but we're doing that again because the turnout was so great this year. So later in the year, we'll be once again doing Freeport, Maine, Concord, New Hampshire, and Portsmouth on the 3rd, 10th, and 17th of December. And again, the Walk to Cure Arthritis is May 7th. Contact arthritis.org, or you can call Tom Ringel at 724-6080. Scott, Wendy, and Mackenzie, we're so blessed that you're willing to take the lead on this important initiative, so important that we reach out and get the word out. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You know,
thank
it's
you.
Important for us to spread that message.
Exactly. So I'll see you in the Sea of Green in May.
You will. We'll be there and we'll bring as many people as we can.
Awesome. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.